This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around your world, and we welcome our listeners on FM in Australia and New Zealand. I'm Henry in hot and sultry and humid Sydney in Australia, and I'm joined by our crew in North America going from north to south. Ronan Seagrave is currently in Vancouver, Canada. Dawn Drost is in Orlando, Florida, and Thomas Booker is in San Antonio de Bayard in Texas. Oh dear, people are going to think we're a bit insane. Now, we're going to talk about mobile technology, specifically mobile phones. Really, that's what it's all about. But first, I just want to talk about a recent state election in the state of Georgia in the United States, as America plows its way to a federal election in November. Now, this was an interesting election, at least I think it was. As far as I understand, the black vote, and there's over 70% of African Americans in that state, and Donald Trump did okay, didn't he?
I'm afraid so. Yes, they're actually making drives to. There is a little subset of his fans, blacks for Donald, and I think they're playing him to. I guess it's to. And give them a sense of empowerment and what they'll be able to accomplish once the Republicans take charge and Donald Trump is president and y'all are going to be fine. Mm. That's the spiel.
Yeah.
I think that come too much beyond it.
Good God. I always remember when Donald Trump was hosting Saturday Night Live back in 2015 when he was first declared he was running to be president. Larry David was there, who was sort of... doing Bernie Sanders at the time, and he's shouting in the background, "You're a racist, Trump." Mm-hmm. I think you probably have meant it. I mean, there's lots of stories around the Trump Organization and the treatment of black employees, and you know, stories that Trump was arriving, he didn't want to see a single black worker in his casino. So one can find this a little strange. You know, Trump would not be in favor of sort of Democrat-leaning policies like affirmative action. His argument is exactly as Thomas has set out, that, you know, I'm the guy who, you know, is rejecting failed Democrat policies that traps black people on welfare. Mm-hmm. You know, the almost sort of Ronald Reagan welfare queen kind of stereotype being risen. And I'm about, you know, your economic success and your economic empowerment. I mean, much of that, or any of that, is really true, is open to question.
Yes.
But Georgia's really critical in the election, obviously, as a key swing state, which Biden took by a whisker the last time.
It has been slightly right-wing, as far as I understand, since the early 70s.
Earlier than that.
Oh, yeah.
Dawn, what's your take?
Side of the main Dixie. Yep.
Dawn, you're living in what used to be a swing state in Florida, and
yeah.
I think it's more leaning to the right. What are the thoughts of the people that you're surrounded with, do you think, if you know any of them, that are Trump supporters?
No, people seem to be largely rebelling against Ron DeSantis, and there seem to be more people protesting outside of Mar-a-Lago lately than there are people who are singing his praises.
That's
so weird. I know. I will be very curious to, you know, there haven't been any boat parades there traipsing by for him to go outside and dance at. He hasn't had the opportunity to do any open adulation of himself, because people are coming there to, other than the people who are members of his club, it's been largely between the horrible DeSantis debacle of him trying to run for president and the fact that the people who were staunch Trump supporters in the area are seeing the lack of effort he's putting forth to go out and campaign within the state of Florida. And they feel that they've been the ones that have sheltered him and protected him during the 4 years that he's been fighting the fight against the stolen election.
Did you say biding?
And yes, he's biding. He's been biding his time against the Biden's
court. Man has been persecuted. Yeah.
Yes. He certainly feels that way. So it has been they feel betrayed at this point. And that is, I will look to see how that is going to play out in the polls. I know there are going to be some areas that are still 100% going to turn out Republican, but I think there might be a little bit more turnout for Democrats. Democratic voting. And I talked to the early voters, the early polling people that for the Republican presidential primary here in my area, and they say that they have had, in the time that if the presidential primary has been going on, they've only had, but at several of the polling places, they've barely cracked double-digit numbers.
You know, I do wish that we could get Michael Moore on this show, because he predicted that Trump would win in 2016, and he was right. I'm thinking he's being tight-lipped on this one, but it seems possible that Trump could get back into power in November, and this is a scary thought, Ronan.
Very scary thought. I mean, Trump recently met with, I mean, we all know his penchant for dictatorial strongmen type leaders. In fact, there's a book coming out by his, one of his many former chief of staffs, General John Kelly, which suggests that Trump spoke admiringly of Hitler and saying that he had great economic achievements, and as well as showering love on Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un of North Korea. But and in similar fashion, Trump was meeting with Viktor Orban, who was right-wing leader of Hungary. And Orban, interestingly, after the meeting, was quite revealing about it. In an interview, he said that Trump's plan to, you know, as he's talked about, ending the war in Ukraine within 24 hours is quite a simple one. He just cut off all funding. Mm-hmm. And essentially force the Ukrainians back to the negotiating table. I mean, there's been another issue has emerged in the last few days involving Pope Francis, who allegedly said that they should put up a white flag and start negotiating with the Russians. But the other thing I noticed about Trump again at the weekend, I'm not sure where rally he was speaking at, but again, there was explicitly clear evidence of cognitive decline, you know, slurring his words, getting confused. I mean, about running against Barack Obama. And this man has cognitive impairment. Of that, I think there's really little doubt. But I would be looking forward, Henry, to reading this book by General John Kelly. The snippets and excerpts we've seen, it's not going to be terribly flattering. And, you know, it is quite shocking to have a president of the United States sitting in the Oval Office and expressing admiration for Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
And equally irritating to note is that that Hungarian PM was invited to Mar-a-Lago. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. He was wined and dined. And, you know, they share similar views. Orban has come out with very similar kind of nationalist, anti-immigration type stuff. He's been sort of a kind of a thorn in terms of NATO expansion around Sweden and Finland, though he eventually backed down on that, and to some degree around European Union aid to Ukraine.
Okay, now let's get on. Sorry, you had something else to say there?
No, I was just going to say, and also, you know, having a relationship with Putin in terms of a much softer line with Putin than other EU members.
That was a pre-existing condition because, I mean, Putin, I think early on, fingered Trump to be a very favorite president that he could manipulate. Mm-hmm. And there was a Russian disinformation campaign that was attacking the Hillary's campaign. And also, that's the main motivator for Trump to go into office, talking about how NATO was all screwed up and the United States should get out of it, and they aren't paying their fair share, and all this other. Which was all.
It's interesting you say that, Thomas. The other thing coming out of the Viktor Orban interview was that he was confirming that Trump effectively did want to pull out of NATO, that mm-hmm. he wasn't prepared to cough up the money, and he's always looked at that in very transactional terms. Why am I paying for all of this when the European governments, European members of NATO aren't spending the equivalent on GDP, the 3% on defence? So in Orban's view, Trump would follow through on essentially, you know, pulling out of NATO, which would be absolutely seismic in terms mm-hmm. of both European and global security and the potential implications.
Okay, now, Orban's a bud with Putin too. So,
okay, let's move on to some real news. By the way, our listeners. Have been listening to us for exactly 15 years on the 15th of this month, the 15th of March. Oh. We'll be 15 years old.
Oh.
So that is quite something that we're still here. Now, what do you do, dear listener, when you get up in the morning? What's the first thing you do? Oh, yeah, you check your mobile or cell phone. And here's an interesting thing about mobile phones. They're not called mobile phones in America. They're called cell phones. As they are in our neighbouring country, New Zealand. They call them cell phones mm-hmm. as well. I wonder why that is. You guys...
You're on my cell phone. Yeah, sorry, that was the Drake tune. Go ahead.
You're very good at accents. You should be an actor. Now, do you guys check... Dawn, Thomas, Ronan, is that the first thing you do in the morning? Check your phones?
Well, no. I usually when I'm getting up first thing in the morning, I have to go head for the John as quickly as possible. So
me too.
And I don't take the phone with me.
Some people do. I've heard of people dropping their phones into their toilets.
I don't take mine with me either. Yeah. I don't. Smart. No.
But is it the first thing you check in the morning, Dawn?
Yes, because I charge mine sideways, and now they have a feature on the iPhone that when you turn it sideways, it has like a traditional old school clock face.
Oh, that's very cool.
It's also what I use as my alarm clock. So it's usually mm-hmm. me turning off my alarm clock yeah. and then checking to see what time it is and how many times I hit snooze without realizing it. How much I overslept.
Ronan, you and I, we have to deal with medical situations at the moment, and all of a sudden the mobile phone becomes very, very important. But do you check your phone the first thing in the morning? I'm just asking this because I don't.
No, I fully confess that is the first thing I do. I, A, personal in terms of the medical situation I'm dealing with, and B, I'm usually with one of the clients I'm working with. There's kind of heavy presence in Atlantic Canada, so with the time difference, there's usually emails waiting for me to look at that have been sent mm-hmm. from sort of Newfoundland or Nova Scotia or New Brunswick and those parts of Canada. So, yes, I have to confess, it is the first thing I look at, and I'm going to plead the fifth in terms of taking the phone into the bathroom.
They make phone sanitizers. You can stick it in there and it will clean it. It'll be like you never did it.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. I'm
I'm a germaphobe. I don't even take mine in there, but I still sanitize my phone at least
once. That sounds like a Ronco commercial. Does this happen to you? Do you?
It does.
The new Ronco cell phone sanitizer.
In mobile phones, you know, I got a mobile phone, a big brick, in 1994. I bought one for myself and my girlfriend, mm-hmm. who's still with me today. Not the phone, though. And I was an early adopter at the time, but then I was one of the last people to get a smartphone, so I don't know what's going on there. But I was kind of forced to, especially during COVID, because people wanted you to scan QR codes and mm-hmm. stuff to get into mm-hmm. places. The mobile phone is, or cell phone has become so almost essential in our daily lives. So there's actually a term for this where people are using their phones way too much. I mean, you know, Ronan, you talk about the fact that you need to use it, as I do, for medical reasons to be in contact with people. But a lot of people use them for rubbish. And there's an attention problem with this. It's a kind of ADHD, which is called variable attention stimulus state. And this is where people just can't, they can't actually communicate without their phone in front of them. They're constantly checking it, even while they're in a cafe sitting opposite to a human. I mean, this is where we've got to, isn't it?
Sadly,
well,
yes.
Actually, with me, what it is, when I go to a restaurant or some other place, or I'm just waiting in a waiting room, I just came to the realization that the cell phone replaces cigarettes. Because it used to be when I was waiting in a room like that, I was the one way I would feel comfortable, and I'd light up. And since I've quit smoking, I have to have another outlet. So the phone is just something to piddle with.
The question is it any better for you psychologically? You know, I was in a waiting room of a hospital because I'd spent a lot of time in waiting rooms in hospitals, and there was the television was on some crappy commercial network, and they were having a discussion about people obsessed with their phones, and I just had to laugh because there was about seven or eight people in this room, and they were all on their phones, every single one of them. I was the only one not on my phone. The other thing I'd like to bring up is that, you know, when you go on holidays, traditionally you get away from work, but now I find even my sister coming over from the UK to all the way to Australia was constantly on her phone and checking stuff in the UK and work, you know. And I said, just take a holiday. You're on the other side of the friggin' world. But she said, no, I can't. And the thing is, she wouldn't be able to if it was 1976. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you guys, if you take a holiday, Rona, particularly you, because you're a businessman, have to be on your phone when you're on holidays?
Yes.
Whenever you have taken a holiday.
I do. I have, you know, international roaming package on it. So, yes, I do. I mean, again, I try not to, if I'm on vacation, try not to fiddle with it or check emails more than once or twice a day. But I remember, as you were talking, Henry, about watching all those years ago Steve Jobs, you know, doing the mm-hmm. famous polo, the black polo neck and the jeans, mm-hmm. launching the iPhone. I remember watching and saying, boy, is this going to change everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it certainly did. I mean, I've always used an Apple phone since I got an original iPhone, and I'm on to whatever 14 or 15 now. But the other thing that triggered me, I think, Thomas, you put something on Facebook around this. One person who predicted all of this was Arthur C. Clarke.
Yes.
Writer of 2001, A Space Odyssey, and he was really a futurist. And he predicted, you know, we'll have, they'll be on our phone and we'll be able to book a restaurant. And
he talked about he talked about being on the internet and someone in Perth. Yeah. He actually mentioned someone in Perth could talk to someone in London or something like that.
Yeah, no,
I did a special, a 1 hour special with Thomas on Arthur C. Clarke, a fascinating man.
Uh-huh.
You know, the other thing is sleep. As far as I understand, from what I've read, there's a lot of sleep issues because of the blue light on phones. Now, I don't know what they're referencing there. Mm-hmm. Is there a blue light on phones and people don't sleep properly because there's that bit of light in the room?
I turned mine off. I shut it down. There's no way I'm going to want to have buzzing and zinging and stuff from, you know, if it's World War III, that's fine. I'll sleep through it. But just, you know, just keep the phone quiet.
I keep my phone on silent, and I go in and set one of the focus settings for do not disturb, mm-hmm. and I have that on at night from 10 p.m. until 7 a.m. so that unless it is somebody that I have set, which are basically just my kids, my ex-husband for when he has the kids, mm-hmm. My mother and my fiance, no one else has an emergency bypass. No one else can make my phone ring.
Every park, every cafe, you will find them there. No eyes raised to greet us, they just scroll and they stare. Friends beside them are distant, each entranced by soft lights, till heads grow heavy and their batteries drain, sometimes well into the night. Kinda all look like zombies, enchanted by handheld spells, caught up in a world by themselves, unblinking like share and type LOL. One gets up and they amble, just get out of their way. They shuffle slowly with their eyes transfixed, just put your phone away. Watch out or your cell phone will transform ya. in front of your face,
in front of your face,
stuck in cyberspace.
It's chewing you up now, don't say I didn't warn ya. Like the living dead, just lift up your head.
How did your lives get so twisted? You wanna talk, just press send. A million followers on Instagram, YouTube subscribers, and strangers called friends. Face-to-face conversation, you prefer emoji. Swipe left or right, give a heart or like, please just talk to me. Every new place they check in, what is the Wi-Fi? And if the internet is down, well then it feels like they might die. Even on the toilet, their phone calls their name. Under the covers in the dead of night, playing Pokemon games.
Watch out or your cell phone will transform ya.
In front of your face,
in front of your face,
stuck in cyberspace.
Just lift up your eyes, the real world's too good to bore ya. You'll see things you find will deserve real likes.
Faces show no feeling in this fool's paradise. It looks like they are all just prisoners here of their own device. Suddenly one looks upwards, are they smiling at me? No, arm sticks out and the duck lips pout, it's just one more selfie. Last thing I remember, I felt a familiar buzz. I had to look at my phone to see what the notification was. Relax, says addiction, it is just a quick reprieve. I can switch off anytime I like, of course I'll never leave.
And now the
Okay, now, if you've just joined us, I'm Henry for Bondi Tunes International in Sydney, Australia. I've had a coffee, can you tell? And Ronan Seagrave is in Vancouver, Canada. Dawn Ross is in Orlando, Florida. And Thomas Booker is in San Antonio de Bear in Texas.
Hey, it's about
the
time, Henry. Hang on a second.
Yep. Oh, is that a beer? Is that a beer I hear?
Yeah, it'll be coming through a little slow on NBN.
The National Broadband Network is delaying my beer. It's 20 past 2 in the afternoon here in Sydney. Now, what happens if you lose? Oh, actually, Dawn, I just, while I've got you, you've got two kids. Now, mm-hmm. back in 1976, I'm referring everything to 1976, I don't really know why, but you put your kids out onto the street in the morning, well, you know, on Saturdays when they're not at school, and you'd say, come in when the streetlights turn on. Now there's helicopter parenting, and it's now when a kid goes out the door, the mother or father would say, text me. And is that true, Dawn? Because you've got two teenage kids.
No. Well, but I will elaborate. I obviously wasn't even born until 78, so I
don't rub it in.
I know, really. Yeah. That's
but I grew up on the house that had the street light in it. So I did have that childhood, and I enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
My kids did not go. They don't go out that much because they are both epileptic, and the sun can trigger their seizures. So my kids are largely indoor kids. They weren't even allowed. My daughter still doesn't know how to ride a bike, and she's 17. My son didn't learn how to ride a bike until he was 12.
Wow.
Because it, for safety.
Yeah.
He was not allowed to until the neurologist could say he could. They didn't get phones until they were both when they each turned. When she turned 12, she got her first one. And so he got his when he turned 12. Oh, yes. She has a YouTube channel. She animates. She uses an old phone and a finger, just one finger, and she does all of her animations with that. So that's what she uses her phone for. She doesn't talk to people on her phone. She does it for her art.
Yes. Yes.
I don't let my kids on social media because of that. My son has ADHD, and I was noticing that his grades were declining. I noticed that he was having problems carrying on conversation. His face was always in it. He was always, he couldn't answer questions without that thing in his hands. And his hand, he was one of those kids that would like twitch if his phone was dead. So I talked to his dad, and that was like one of the few things that we agreed on. It was like, we are cutting him off of YouTube. They've never had social media, but just saying no more YouTube made the difference that now he only uses his phone to email his friends to say, can you send me notes from fifth period, or can you or to chat to say, hey, I'm done with my homework, do you want to get online and play a game?
And you know, Dawn, that's so different to what many other kids are using their phones for now. You know, some people think that a nuclear war is the worst thing that can happen on planet Earth, but there are others who think that losing their phone is the worst thing that could happen on planet Earth. I've lost my phone. Have you all lost your phone? I think everyone's lost their phone at some stage.
Never.
Never.
No, never.
I've also never broken a screen. And I've never broken a screen.
And, well, I've never done that. Thomas, have you ever lost your phone?
No, I keep mine. I bought a little side holster to go with it. And I also have the Apple Watch. So the Apple Watch is like a smart terminal for my phone, which you can interact with. But it also has the capability of, you can set it into search, and it'll search for the phone if you've misplaced
it or dropped it. Yes, I've got an Android version of that because I'm not au fait with Apple because I don't like Apple. But that's just me. But for some people, it is horrific to lose their phone because we are forced to depend on these mobile devices.
They have become an addiction. Sure.
Yes. I didn't have my computer was severely outdated. I got the first iPhone 2 as well, but I bought mine used because I wanted to wait and see if it was going to be any good or not. I wanted to wait and see how it played out. So when the second one came out, then I went and bought one off of eBay that had been jailbroken because they were only on AT&T and I was with T-Mobile. I've been with T-Mobile for like 25 years. So, but I still have it. I still have all of them, except for when I trade them in for a new one.
You could start up a phone museum.
I probably could.
Yes.
My computer is out. it is outdated and slow. It's about 8 years old. My laptop.
Oh my God. That's ancient.
What it is, and it's. But I haven't gotten rid of it because I still have
Windows
baby
XP.
Pictures of my kids that I need to get off of it. That too, I do like Windows XP.
Yes.
What I've been doing is my phone has functioned as my computer. Everything I have is in my phone. I have a 512 gigabyte phone, and the next one I'm going to get is going to be the terabyte because this one's full.
Mm-hmm. Gee, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now I want to mention FOMO. it's a term, folks, where people are just obsessed with their phones, and a lot of people are going down to what's now called a dumb phone. It's a phone that is purposely restricted. I mean, it's another way of making money out of phones because these are new phones. They're not old phones. They're new phones with older technology or lack thereof of technology. And you can remove the apps. I personally think it's a bit of a cop out because it's easy for me to say because I don't even answer my phone. I work both my jobs from home, and if people phone me, they know I won't answer, so they don't leave messages or anything. And I'm available everywhere else, you know, like on WhatsApp, on Facebook, on YouTube, on here on Skype. So they know that. But the thing is, the dumb phone, I think, is a bit of a cop-out because if you want to stop using your phone, just take the apps off. You don't have to go and buy another phone. What are your thoughts on that, Thomas?
I do have a bunch of apps on my phone some of them are very handy. Basically what I do is I just back mine up to my desktop. I really can't. There's a lot of things on the phone I can't do. I can't stand doing, especially writing.
Me too. I hate phones. I hate them.
And I hate doing texting and all this other crap that I have to do because I got fumble fingers anyway. So I always wind up having typos and other stuff I can't stand. So I also don't want to use my phone ever for buying stuff. I mean, ordering things off Amazon or anything through my iPhone. I just want to have a keyboard in front of me and a screen and easy access to hard drives and all of that. And the phone doesn't offer that.
Ronan, do you trust banking apps on mobile phones?
I've never had an issue. I mean, I do use multiple sort of verification and sort of security levels on it. I wouldn't use it is public Wi-Fi. I don't think that's a particularly good idea. But at home and using personal Wi-Fi, I've never had any issues. I do order things off the phone. I've certainly done Amazon orders, you know, Skip the Dishes, DoorDash, things like that. I've never had a problem in terms of, you know, questionable transactions or anything like that. Maybe it's, as I say, the multiple layers of security I put on it, some software, obviously, the sort of antiviral and anti-cyber. But for me, it is, frankly, about convenience. I don't have to get the laptop out or, you know, do anything like that. It's right here in my phone. You know, I need to send my daughter $100. Okay, it's done in an instant, just on my phone. So for me, I think there's just an awful lot of convenience around that and using apps that for me help me use my time efficiently and are just terribly convenient.
And the bottom line is that you trust it. And you know, there's no reason not to trust a phone any more than you might not
any
trust
more than
a computer. Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, I think that, I mean, the phone makers have got better at this in terms of sort of Apple. I mean, we haven't actually read about terribly recently some kind of some major software bug or anything like that. I think Apple has just continually raised their game in relation to security and access. I happen to think it's one of the great, for me, best inventions of my lifetime.
It depends how you use it, Ronan. You know,
yeah, I think it depends how you use it. It's like everything. I mean, in moderation.
Don't abuse it.
I remember you know, trying to get a hold of people in days past and how bloody difficult that was. I you know, people who need to get a message to somebody. I mean, you might remember, Henry, back long before mobile phones in Ireland, when during the summer, that on the RTE news, they would put out messages aimed at sort of foreign tourists who were travelling round Ireland on holidays who needed to contact home for urgent messages. Because it was sort of the only way.
I did not know benefits. That.
Yeah, no, they, I remember they would tell the news, they'd say, you know, there's a French, you know, French couple, Mr. whatever, and they're touring around Kerry, and if they're listening, would they please contact their son, John, at home for an urgent message?
And this is not a local community station reporting on the deaths.
But this is RTE.
No, this is the national broadcaster, RTE.
The news, yeah, that would say messages for tourists who need to, as I say, contact home pretty urgently.
Well, you know what, Ronan, it's somewhat more sensible than the Angelus at 6 o'clock. Would you like to explain the Angelus at 6 o'clock in Catholic Ireland? Because the news is called 601 News because there's a minute of this. Yeah. What is the Angelus? Tell our listeners what the Angelus is.
The Angelus has been on Irish radio probably since that started in the 1920s, but certainly on Irish television since Irish television started. And I think, Henry, it was 63 or something around
that. It was 1962, the year I was born.
1962. Yeah. So at 6 o'clock, 7 days a week, every day, that there is the clock, the RT clock will count at 6 o'clock, and then there is a recording of a church bell ringing. That dong, dong, dong. And it is accompanied, it used to be in the past sort of accompanied with sort of
did images, they have pictures of Jesus and stuff like that?
Yeah, geez, now it's got a bit more sort of contemporary, but there's now sort of video footage of people going about their daily lives, and yes, somebody in a church. It's kind of trying to show
it's gonna get
reflective
groovy.
Snapshots, yeah, reflective snapshots of Irish life. I mean, as you know, Henry, there's been talk that this, you know, it's a Catholic church, and this really, you know, in a, you know, a country becoming more secular, that this really should go. But every time RTE have attempted or even suggested it, there's been an automatic outcry from certain quarters, and it just has never happened, you know.
Wow, that is quite amazing. Now, if you've just joined us, this is Bondi Tunes International Broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney. In Australia, Ronan is in Vancouver currently. In Canada, Dawn Drost is in Orlando, Florida, and Thomas Booker is in San Antonio, Bayard. That is hurting my ears. Now, we talked about we're talking about mobile technology, dear listener. We talked about Phobo, which is, you know, what you get when you use mobile phones. But now there's another term called JOMO, folks. JOMO is the joy of missing out. So it's the opposite of FOMO, I think. JOMO is the joy of missing out. Are we all going to get together and enjoy the joy of missing out, folks? No.
No,
I don't see that happening.
No.
You can't anyway, can you? You really can't. Another thing that someone, when I was researching this, someone pointed out on social media, go figure, that, you know, people can phone you from, and they're just outside your door, you know, and you're thinking, oh, that's not good. That's not good. I'm having a shower or I'm with my partner, you know, doing nefarious things. This sense of I'm just outside your door does not go well with me, folks. What do you think?
My phone's off. And stuff. I'm not paying attention to it. I don't
pay attention.
No. So we have ring.
Do you feel threatened? Do you feel threatened by people just phoning you like that without any notice?
As long as I've got the caller ID.
Yeah, that caller ID. I mean, I think if we're getting into, how would I put it, calls are intimate and delicate moments. I always think that the best advice before the outbreak of any intimate or delicate moments is to put it on silent. I'm sure that there is no Unwanted interruptions
yes.
of a telephonic nature. Yep.
And you also make sure, you want to make sure that people can't hear you. And this is important.
Oh,
this is very important. And it can go so terribly wrong because people forget to hang up after phone calls, you know?
Henry,
thing about mobile phones. With cell phones, only one side has to hang up and then the call is disconnected.
Yep.
So who is still hearing this? If they suspect you're doing something, they want to hear it and they're just pretending to hang up. Then
yes.
they're just freaky freaks and they just want to hear it. That's
yes.
no.
Freaky freaks.
If you're going to be getting into some delicate situations, yes, put your phone on silent and either if you have a case that closes a front, do that, or else put the phone face down so if it does light mm-hmm. up, you're not going to stop your delicate situation and be distracted and tempted to look at it, because that's not going to go well for you.
No, not at all.
You know it's not.
Thomas, you wanted to say something regarding
this?
Oh,
yeah. I just, on the WhatsApp chat that we had, I just posted an image that I had. Actually, it's on my Facebook page, too.
You know what we were just talking about. I don't want to look at that image.
Not of an intimate and delicate nature, Thomas.
No. No, this is from 1938, and it's a picture of two women at a little dining table. They have drinks and they're smoking cigarettes and they're talking to each other on wireless phones she's holding it like the old telephone operator back in the turn of the century or early 19th century, and she has little headphones and she's looking at a picture of the kid and they're chatting and they're both sitting at the table and they're both having their own individual chats to the phones and ignoring each other. And this was drawn in 1938, so I don't know if you can see it.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
It's not one of these, Thomas, the people put up as proof of time travel. I mean,
I've heard about that.
I think of, a sort of a carousel or something in Paris, where in the
1990s,
the woman walking by, supposedly.
On a mobile phone.
I think the answer to it, Henry, was she was fiddling with a hearing aid rather
is that
pulling
right?
out her iPhone in 1929.
And not a time traveller. How does using your mobile technology affect your friendships with people? Because we were just talking about the, unwanted visitor to your house at very short notice. Do you think that it affects people's friendships? People, you hear about people breaking up with each other on text messages. It's very sad.
I can say that several relationships. My fiance and I started out as a long distance relationship. We lived an hour and a half away from each other. So we talked every night on his drive home from work and would text throughout the day. And that was a way for us to keep in communication until we could see each other. My best friend in the world lives in North Carolina, which is 1,000 miles away from me.
Wow.
We talk and chat
Skype
several times a week and FaceTime.
Which
and,
is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful
it
thing.
It is. Yeah. And one of my dearest friends in the world, who I met over Facebook and met in person like a year after that, when she drove down from Michigan up near the Canadian border where she had lived, she moved to Florida. She called me yesterday and was having a health scare, and she asked if she could come and visit me and the kids because she just wanted to be around people who loved her. So it's just to me, I feel that it depends on the relationship that you give to the devices. And for me, it has helped strengthen it with the people that I love and hold dear.
Yeah,
and because it has expanded my world and it has brought those people closer to me.
As Roland said, it's what you do with these remarkably advanced devices. When I first bought a mobile phone with a different girlfriend back in 94. We met up for coffee. Now, you got to remember, phones were brand new. And my ex-girlfriend, we were having a coffee right in Bondi. And my phone rang, and my ex-girlfriend slammed her fist on the table about 6 times really loudly. And I said, I've got to get back to you. And she said, don't you dare answer the phone while we're having a conversation. This is 1994, folks. How about that?
Just getting on,
right? Isn't that amazing?
Dodged a bullet there.
The one thing that's happened to me, Henry, I think everyone's got the phenomenon of, apart from sort of spam and spam texters and people looking for money, you know, people that you know who sent you a text message that was meant for somebody else.
That can go so terribly wrong. Oh, yeah.
I remember one case it did. I mean, it's some years ago, and it was a work colleague, was female, and she was clearly, you know, texting back and forth with me around a work issue, and then texting back and forth with her boyfriend around personal matters. But I was somewhat surprised to receive a text message full of love hearts and along with a photographic image that definitely was of a delicate and intimate nature. And she was like, I don't think you meant to send me this. And she went, oh my God.
It's right up there with leaving your phone on.
There's a show on British television that I've sort of seen snippets on YouTube. It's a British comedian called Michael McIntyre. Mm-hmm. And what he does as part of this, I guess, sort of comedy variety show, but there's a celebrity on every week where he takes their mobile phone and he sends a text message to multiple people in their contact list, and it's usually of them doing something odd. I mean, there was one episode featuring a former prominent UK politician called Ed Balls, who's now a sort of a TV presenter. He was a minister in the previous Labour government. He was a very well known person now. Does sort of breakfast TV, but his wife is still a politician and on the sort of shadow cabinet with the Labour Party. So he takes his phone and sends this text message to people saying, hey, I'm having a sauna party or a jacuzzi party and I'm inviting these rappers and DJs round to join me and these models. Would everyone like to come round? And when he sends it, he waits for the reaction to come through. And the one from his wife said, what the F?
Oh no!
It was the wait. What are you doing? So oh it's quite a funny segment in the show when you think about it. You know, sending out something where you're doing something very odd to a mass number of people. But I know people who have sent text messages meant for a significant other, like to their parents, and there's a lot of cringing sort of. I always think when you're sending a text message, probably you, the rest of us, I do just double check.
I double check everything. Everything.
I wanted to go.
Yeah. You know, I was talking about meeting my ex-girlfriend for a coffee and how that turned out. What intrigues me is that in this day and age, now, in the old days, you'd maybe talk to them on a landline, say, I'll meet you at 2 o'clock or, on, you know, around the corner for coffee at the cafe, and that you'd have to be there. Now, you can have an out. You can be on your mobile phone and they're sitting at the cafe waiting for you, and you can sort of say, you know, I can't be there, or I'm going to be half an hour late. And it's like an out, which you have more of an ability to get out of something or delay it because of this mobile technology. Isn't it true to say?
That sounds like a good dodge.
Yes.
It does sound like a dodge.
Has it happened to any of you?
No.
Well, it's happened to me.
No.
Tell us all about it. Maybe.
There's something wrong
not
with me.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, not that you know of. And the other thing is, you know, I've got a friend who I called, this must be about 5-6 years ago, and I phoned him up. And
I've done it to somebody, though. Sorry.
Oh, have you?
Go ahead. Carry on. Yes.
No, I wish to know. How did, why
okay.
and how?
I hadn't met him, though. I hadn't met him in person. This was, I think I told you this before, though. This was before I met Jim, my fiance. And you, when I was going through my divorce, you threatened to put me on an online dating site.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
No. Did I do
you
that?
Did. You threatened to put me on an online dating site. And and so did my former mother-in-law. And I was terrified of, independently of what both of you would say about me. So I realized I had to do it myself. Because I was like, holy crap. I was like, I don't even know what photos you two would have. And I was like, I don't think she has a photo of me since I was 14. So I'm like, good God, no, we're not doing this. I was like, that's going to attract entirely the wrong kind of crowd. And I was like, nope, we're not doing this. And and within 24 hours, I had 493 responses. I mean, it was overwhelming.
Oh my God.
And I put on the most unappealing pictures you could possibly imagine. Like, I went out of my way to make myself seem repellent. And apparently that's what guys like. And
truly,
I had a picture of myself from Disney World soaking wet from getting off a water ride and screaming my head off. Like, they were doing a photo shoot for some, when like Incredibles 2 came out, and it was like the city backdrop, and they were like, look like you're horrified. And like, I got down in the fetal position and was just wailing, and they took the picture. That's what I uploaded. Like,
and
that's
got
the
all,
picture that was, and I got 493 responses.
Maybe
and
they were concerned about you, Dawn.
I have no idea. But one of the guys was the first one I was going to go out with. We had talked, and he was like, "Well, we'll go to a movie on Friday." And I was like, "Okay." And we'd been texting and talking on the phone. And then when he called me on Friday, I was sitting in my doctor's parking lot, my neurologist's parking lot, and he was like, "Did I tell you I'm into puppetry?" And I was like,
dear.
Oh, no.
Scary movie stuff.
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And I was like, trust me, it's going to get worse. And I was like, no. Red flag. And I was like, no, flag, red flag on the field. And I was like, okay. No, you didn't. And he was like, yes. He goes, I make puppets. I play with puppets. I like puppets. And he goes,
this is too weird, man.
And
too
he goes,
weird.
You know what I don't have? And he goes, I don't have a girl puppet.
Oh,
and he goes, can you be my? He goes, can you be
no.
my girl meat puppet?
No.
And that, can you be my girl meat puppet? And right away I said, you know what? I am so sorry. I can't make it tonight.
Valley of the Dolls. Valley
and
of the Dolls.
And I hung up and blocked, and that was it. And now there's a grocery store in town that I can't go to that's in my neighborhood because that's where he works, in the meat department.
No.
In the meat department, how appropriate.
I know.
I can see an axe,
but
I can see knives.
But really, at this point, I'm like, you know what? The only picture he's seen of me is curled up on the ground in the fetal position screaming. So I'm like, I'm probably good.
He probably wouldn't recognize you if you did go in there. I wanted to mention that voicemail. By the way, it seems to me that young people don't talk on their phones. It's all texting. You know, I have a friend who is young, and I called him up, and I got his voicemail, and he said, please don't leave a message on this voicemail, text me. And it makes sense, because you because if you're getting a message, you have to dial the number, you have to listen to the message, okay? Whereas
mm-hmm.
texting
mm-hmm.
is instant, and you have to check your VMs, your voicemails, in my case, because of medical stuff. So he was absolutely right. But it's true to say that young people really don't talk to each other anymore on the old mobile
telephone.
Well, I
was kind of hoping that if they texted each other, at least they would have some level of literacy, but then...
Don't be silly.
We
got to go soon. I just want to mention that, you know, we talked about the negatives and the positives of mobile phones or cell phones. The bottom line, as far as I'm concerned, is that they're extremely good for elderly people. And
mm-hmm.
People
depends
in emergency.
On the elderly person.
Well, if they can use it, but there are phones designed for elderly people where you just press one button three times or something, and you've got emergency services. It has to be said that there are good things about mobile technology, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything is trade-off, ultimately. I mean, there are some fantastic things you can do. For me, like, one of the more important things this cell phone does for me is it's, I always have a camera at my side. So
that's very handy, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of the pictures and stuff I post on Facebook are things I have from just walking around, seeing a good image and shooting it. So, mm-hmm.
And you like taking photos, don't you?
Yes.
Thomas. Before we go, I just want to mention yet another little technology called light phones. Now, that's halfway to a dumb phone that we talked about earlier on, which I think is a bit ridiculous as well. It's not a huge uptake to this. Only people over 65, apparently, use light phones. And it's not to wean yourself off, high-tech phones. It's more for people, apparently, over 65 who don't need all the technology. So in a way, that's probably a good idea, you know?
As long as they have cable TV.
And it's cheaper than an average modern phone. Okay, guys, sorry, Dawn, did you want to say something else?
Yeah, no, I was going to say there are definitely some people that benefits, because there are members of my family that the older generation of my family that is very overwhelmed by the smartphones, and they want the convenience and need it of having a cell phone, but they don't know how to pay their bills online, and they don't know or want to have banking information on there, and they don't want to check their email on their phone. They just want to be able to make calls and maybe take pictures of their grandkids, and that's
right.
That's all they need a phone to do, and those phones are perfect for them.
So the light phone is a good idea. We've got to go. Ronan Seagrave has joined us from Canada, Dawn in Florida, and Thomas in Texas. Thank you all so much for spending this time with me here on Bondi Tunes.
It's been fun.
It has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
We have to hang up now.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio. I'll see you on the phone. Okay, we're out, folks.
Hey man, I recently been doing some contemplation about people's dependency upon cellular telephones.
Yeah man, me too. I've really noticed that everyone always seems to be on their mobile device instead of really being in the moment.
Exactly. And I feel like this is a very significant issue that needs to be addressed immediately.
Yes, immediately.
We really should do something about this.
We have a man who's chosen to Instagram his apple pie a la mode. While he fumbles through the filters, his ice cream has gotten a la hot and the pie a la cold. As you can see, this street performer's drawn a crowd to watch him do his thing. But instead of just enjoying the show, it seems everyone's decided to make a documentary. Notice this unreasonably attractive couple enjoying a reasonably priced Italian dinner together. Social networking instead of working on getting to know each other better. Your taste. Since your dessert has gone to waste, when do you think you ever will wanna watch this portrait juggling film? You know you want to touch each other. Doesn't that feel good?
He's my brother.
Get off the phone. It's gonna be okay. There's no need to be afraid. It doesn't last. Stereotypical teen forced to endure family game night. He's stereotypically texting and missing his mom. Demonstrate a carousel ride. Little Ethan here is celebrated being the center of the universe for 1 year. But the world's greatest dad is more worried about Facebooking it than actually being here. Let's listen in and see if we can get some context.
Please hurry, we're at 382 Pine.
He has the nerve to make a phone call.
It's such a pivotal moment in his friend's life.
How could you be so disengaged while precious memories are being made? Do you really think your friends need another baby picture in their feed? Don't be such a self-centered guy. Now isn't that better?
think he just died. Get off the road.
Hey guys, I'm on the set of our music video. There's Rhett.
Seriously?
What?
It doesn't love you, it's gonna die one day. The government is probably spying on you with it anyway.
Thanks for watching our video. Check out getinthemoment.tumblr.com.
Get the song on iTunes, watch the behind the scenes.
And check out our main channel for more music videos and our second channel for our daily show, Good Mythical Morning.
The sun never sets on Bund iTunes.